right. We got a blast from the past here. A show with Zandri again, and Cole's here. Ginger Prime. I guess, Zandri, how have you been?
Good. I was just telling Ginger Prime about it a little bit before we had officially started, that my son has been starting to go to like a head start before he goes to preschool for three-year-olds next year. And so the morning's been kind of, I've been sniffly, and then I had to bring him in and he wasn't feeling it. So that made me cry. But we had some good sales this morning. So hey. There's at least a light out of that. But yeah, pretty good getting back into the groove, especially for 14. Really excited about Dawn Trail. So yeah, kind of it feels really weird, like a blast from the past. Like you were saying, I was checking out a couple of the videos previously from interviews and I was like, oh, I look a lot different.
It's not about that. I think it's
hopefully
like,
motherly.
I think it's funny because like you bring up a really cool point, because I feel like especially as we have kids, like you just kind of go in this hibernative state. Like it's like, oh man, I haven't been out to dinner in a long time. You know, like there's just these things where you're like, yeah, it's just a stop for me right now.
Yep. I'm training for a big ultra marathon in June, and like I'm an age grouper, and so like you get put in these, and I'm in that middle range where like everybody who has kids dropped out, so there's not that many of us, like it really slims up, and it's like, wow, so like I'm not performing at the top of my age group, but it's okay because as I age it'll get easier. But it doesn't, because what happens is all these people come out of parenthood and there's like this whole wave, so like the next age group after me is way more competitive, they're faster, they're more aggressive, and it's because all these people have all this time again.
Yep. Oh. And they want to like work on themselves because they feel like they're in their prime probably as well. That's my thing right now, is I'm on like a weight loss journey. And I'm like, I only want to lose like 30 pounds, but it is like the toughest 30 pounds I've ever dealt with in my life. But
so if I'm ever going to win something, it's going to be now. I got a couple more years until I hit the next age group, and then that's it. Then I'll never catch those guys again. They're it's way all too
downhill.
Fast.
It's all downhill.
Well, good luck, though.
We'll see. Cole, how have you been?
Good, good. Although I can't blame my fitness loss, my fitness journey being derailed on the something as wonderful as having kids. I just got lazy at work and everything. I'm like, ah, because I used to be super fit. And so now I'm kind of, I don't know. But I've been doing pretty well. I have been waiting for so many months for like the Dawn Trail news to pick up, and now starting to pick up. Now we have the benchmark. My character looks freaking awesome. Although I'm sure, as we're going to be talking about later, not everyone agrees with that, which unfortunate. But it's been such a hype time for me. I'm absolutely excited for the next few months.
It'd be interesting to see how many people use the free Fantasia because their character doesn't feel like their character anymore.
Right.
It'd be interesting to kind of see what I wonder if they would ever release a stat on that. They released a lot of crazy stats at the end of the 14-hour live letter portion, where they kind of just revealed like all these various things. There was a chart that showed like when people joined, but it didn't credit 1.0 players. Like it just left Ryan's in the same category as me. Like all 2.0 players are just kind of in it together.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw some tweets kind of like, that was kind of weird, especially because they can track legacy players. So it's not like, well, they didn't know. Right. Like Guild Wars 1 to Guild Wars 2. Maybe ArenaNet didn't know. Maybe you have Destiny 1 to Destiny 2. Maybe you didn't know. But like they very much, like it's a big part of our culture to have 1.0 players be credited in game. And that is a consistent character that's been carried directly over. So it seemed weird that chart didn't say something. But today we're going to be talking about Final Fantasy 14 benchmark and the 14-hour live stream, and then what's remaining going into Dawn Trail and the graphics update. And then if we get some time, I'd love to kind of get anybody's opinion on the Guild Wars 3 stuff as that has started to settle down. I think we got all the information we're going to get at this point. So I think
for a while,
I think the number of articles being spun up at this point, or Reddit threads or whatever, is just wild speculation. I don't think any new facts have come out. I think it's just growing because it's growing. So Xander and Cole, did you guys get a chance to watch the 14-hour broadcast?
I did, at least for the first little bit. I wasn't able to watch like the full thing with the board game, which I wish that I would have seen, but I will go back and watch it sometime soon. But like, I definitely checked out like the live letter and that, and did a little bit of a little summary video, because everyone's just like, you know what? I want something that's like condensing this 2-hour block into like itty bitty little 8 minutes. And I'm like, that's a challenge accepted. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we put a survey out. Brian and I both, I mean, it was late and like, it didn't feel like that much information, but I guess that was me just making the constant mistake, content creator mistake of just assuming just because you don't want something that other people don't want it. Because I think that's fair. I think that there was information. As we started to list it at the end of the show, I was starting to wonder, should I do a summary? Because I was like, well, it was only this one thing and this other thing.
And this other thing.
It was really graphics heavy. So
it was really
graphics.
This
was the graphics heavy presentation that I was craving the entire time that they did any graphics presentation prior. Because every other presentation, it was like so subtle and they spent so much time on it. And I was like, it's not going to make sense until you see it all together working in tandem. And when they sat down to show that, I was like, this is exactly what I've been kind of wanting. And honestly, I was really impressed. I mean, just the amount of work that it takes to go in and do this, and the risk is that you'll see gamers out there just frustrated. They're like, why didn't I get an exploratory zone and a deep dungeon? Why didn't I get this and this? It's like they prioritized doing this one thing that will, I think, hopefully make, especially the game when they talk about a new 10-year plan, continue to be like a real strong contender within the MMO space.
Oh, I can totally believe it. And I relate to that because like when they went over the Lalafell face, the bloody Lalafell face for like half an hour or something, I was like, I love you, Yoshi-P, so much, but why? Why this emphasis on the Lalafell face? And then I finally downloaded the benchmark and saw all the characters actually like in the thing, like actually on my own computer with like maxed out settings. Thank God I have the PC that I do. I definitely don't take it for granted. And I was like, wow, this actually is like really impactful on the graphics, even just rotating your camera and not seeing things like blurt out in the background and like just be there. Just, it looks so good.
I wish they had, and this isn't really how graphics updates work, but I wish they'd been able to kind of just show brief pictures along the way and we would have been happy with those. But what would have happened is like people would have had to assume everything that was missing. So they had to go into all this detail just to try to show a progress report. And what I really wanted was this presentation. I really didn't want anything along the way because seeing it partial, I do think they got some good feedback. So like, I guess they're glad they did it, but it was a lot like of previous live letters that were dedicated to a product that wasn't final. And this just felt so much more polished, the grass, the ground detail. It's going to look a lot better. Xander, I know you've been like in and out of the community as you've had other commitments. Like how much of the graphics update had you kind of been aware of prior to this?
So I had known that they were planning on doing a graphics update, but I didn't know how much it was actually going to impact the game and or performance and what type of system you needed. And so when I had actually started seeing the benchmark for stuff that people were posting, I thought it looked absolutely incredible. I've not actually done anything for the benchmark myself. And to answer your previous question, I didn't see the live letter, but I have seen some of the slides and everything looks incredible. I mean, even for something that isn't completely refined and finished, I'm excited for it. I don't know if that's the best place to handle it, but
you're in the best place.
That's going to be the real interesting thing in terms of handling it. That's why the benchmark is both important, but it's going to be interesting to see as people step into it, if it's like, oh, we're having some performance issues, because as like the systems and the requirements go up, sometimes that does mean that people who've been kind of on that line get below the line. And that's never fun to be like, hey, this game and this world that you love, now there's another cost on top of the expansion cost. So, but I think and hope that being that, you know, this is just not going to cut out too many. There's not going to be too many people who end up, you know, suffering because the performance increase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think they can see the hardware that we're logging in with. So like they know what percentage of players they're giving up, and then they're hoping that they're not giving up all those people. They're hoping that some of those people just aren't upgrading because they don't have to. And then by giving us advance notice, I mean, they first told us minimum spec increase. I mean, it wasn't this week. It was like a month or two ago.
Yeah.
So like people have had 3 or 4 months to say, okay, like I'm not going to meet the RAM requirements. Or I've seen some people online saying, is it really going to take this much hardware space? You know, so we've had time that, you know, if you're short $100, $200 upgrade, that maybe you can make that happen. And like, it's not a cheap game. Like I'm looking at the collector's edition and, you know, we've got some savings goals and stuff around the house and things like that. And we're working on some projects and I'm like, So like it does require saving to play for this. So I think hardware is just part of the cost, just like the monthly cost, just like the every other year you're buying a game. And that's assuming it's the only game you play. So like gaming is not a free hobby. If you're going to, well, the kind of games that we play is not a free hobby.
Now, a question from chat. Patrick says, graphics question. Do female Hrothgars get hats? Because there should be some drama if they do. Does anybody know if they get hats? Because they've been working on getting that, you know, rolled out for the males, but I'm not aware.
So I think that based on like the Viper artwork that we saw, because I think that they had like a character concept artwork of the Viper, that they didn't have a hat on a female Hrothgar or the hood. And so I think that made the round. But aside from that, I don't think we really have a confirmation one way or another. But I think it would probably be safe to be a little skeptical and presume it's the same set as male, which would be like same as like female Viera and male Viera. So, but be pleasantly surprised if not.
Just stop introducing new sets that don't fit on all the races. Like, that's really what it comes down to. That's how I felt the first time. Like, if the backwards compat is hard, the clipping conversation comes up every time. Just stop introducing, especially the iconic sets. Like, if a random seasonal piece of gear or something can't work or whatever, because I don't know. Like, it is what it is. But, like, the idea that you would unlock your AF set and you're really excited and then it doesn't fit because you played the newest race. It's like, oh, that was my mistake for playing the thing that was designed for this expansion.
I really wanted the Viper hood, but I guess not.
Well, the issue is kind of the going off of that for like everything for the Viera when everything had originally come out for Shadowbringers, and they didn't have, you know, the helms, hoods, hats, and things all set. Like, you couldn't have the headwear. And when they were talking about it, they were talking about things that had impacted it. You know, and that they just weren't ready and they didn't have stuff for everybody. And so they didn't want to, you know, to even try to have like a basic anything. They didn't want a small slew of headwear. They wanted all of the headwear to be available. And that was like part of what they were saying. I just kind of think it's strange to not have the Hrothgar items to be ready either for females. Maybe that's just me.
No, not just you. I
just think it's very, like, I mean, I would understand the previous issues that you would have had with, you know, the development team, everything going on in the world at the time, like all of the COVID, all of that. But now, I don't know. I don't know what, and by all means, I don't work there, so I have no idea. But like, what is the reasoning behind it? Like, if they even have given any since I've been gone, I guess is what I'm asking.
Well, we all know that one of the reasons is because basically all the character models except for Lalabelle, Van Bradley used the same base model. Mm-hmm. So for all the other models, it's basically just resizing based on the character. All the others are basically just a her, but with like, you know, cat ears and like taller and a bigger neck. So the model itself is the same, except for Lalafell. Lalafell's also have a unique model, but they've been around since 2.0. So I guess that's why. So they just have to design the hat for that model versus Viera and Hrothgar that both need different unique models for the hat, for the designs, which, by the way, is what reason they've given us. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't be having them by now. Like,
Viper doesn't have a bunch of previous gear. Pictomancer doesn't have a bunch of previous gear. So like at the very least, all Viper gear should fit on all of the races that existed at the time Viper was added.
But you say that, but
Warrior doesn't. It's like, well, Warrior has some design ideas that are old. And even with the new sets, we want to pay homage to the original design ideas and they don't work with the new race or whatever crazy jumps you want to, gymnastics you want to do. But like Viper was designed for an expansion that had female Hroth, but we knew female Hroth was coming before we knew Viper was coming.
Normally I would agree with you, Chris, but people have noticed in the benchmark that there are actually some old weapons and old designs that they've added to Viper.
Okay.
Viper's going to share some gear sets, so like I can understand how that works together, but I'd also kind of point out that I think one of the points of frustration with hats and these races is also then you marry this with Yoshi P's statement when Endwalker came out that they're going to spare no expense. And it's just, I know there are people who are just actively like, and it's who, what's your favorite Pokemon? Like, no matter what, there's going to be somebody on the forums that's literally like, I really like how this hat looked on my Elzen, but I would like, I switched to Viera and now I want, that would complete the look that I'm after and I can't. But, sure. And it just feels like, you know, also I spent money on being able to switch that race and all of a sudden finding something's restricted. What's the plan? Is there an ETA? And it ends up just being kind of like wait and see every patch if we added, you know, more stuff or expansions. And that's unfortunate, I think, to a lot of the diehards.
And if we're going to go backwards, I think you should start with, they may not be the most iconic from a glamour standpoint, but it is weird that somebody would download the free trial on Xbox. They're trying out the game for the very first time. And MSQ forces you to equip certain hats and they don't display.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
They could look bad and then somebody could Google it and be like, yeah, some of them look bad, but because they don't really fit that race. But like the fact that like, and if you don't equip it, you cannot turn the quest in. The person's like, I can't tell who you are without the hat on. And then you put the hat on, nothing changes.
Yeah.
And then you can complete the quest.
It's very immersion breaking.
I guess for me, like it would be one of those things where, in my opinion, even if all of the story, MSQ, all of the raids and the dungeons were set and ready for release, I mean, I know there's a schedule, but just bear with me.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That the expansion isn't finished if you don't have those things.
Mm.
Honestly, especially if you're putting out a new race and you don't have things for the previous things that you've put out, two expansions. And that's, although I am saying that I'm playing devil's advocate here because I don't wear headwear on any of my characters in any MMO. That's like the first thing that I turn off the moment that I cannot wear headwear. So I'm just saying, for me, it feels like it's unfinished.
I have a question to the table and also to chat, but with the female Hrothgar being finally added, that does complete the gender version of each of the new races that are there. Do we feel that we would like more playable races, or do we feel it's more important to have them focus in on the gear and bring all the gear sets and gear options in alignment with what we existing races? What do y'all think?
I think those are two different things. I think gear is to satisfy your existing player base. And I understand existing player bases can be excited about a new race. But obviously, we found a race we identified with enough to play the game because we're here. I think the advantage of new races is that you get a chance to draw people into the game who maybe tried the game out and didn't identify with that character, who don't want to try the game out because it doesn't have a certain character look. So I think new races is about broadening the appeal of the game. And I think new gear is about fan service to the existing players. And both are important. You can't piss off your current customer base, but you can't say, okay, well, every time somebody, you know, has a kid and doesn't play for 2 years or falls in love with another game or, you know, gets involved in a job and doesn't have as much time anymore, we're just not going to replace them. Like the player base will just slowly die off. Like you have to have new players coming in, and new races is kind of a part of that appeal. Same with new classes, same with new zones, bringing people in. And there can be overlap, but I think it's ideally a balance of the two. I don't know that we'll get new races next expansion or the one after.
I guess my follow-up to that would be, when does it become too bloated for the character creation? Like, when is having too many, you know, races too much of a choice then?
I mean, of a good thing.
Wow says, hold my beer. Like, it's new.
And I don't even like the allied races for WoW and anything like that either. But I don't know. I guess for me, it could be either or. I always think new races are cool. Watching their different, you know, the different graphics that they have for abilities, the different ways they move for both, you know, melee and ranged, whether it's, you know, physical DPS or a caster, really cool. And I am very serious about, I love the beginning of things, which is a weird thing to say. Like, I love creating a character and going through everything that I just went through on a completely different, like, you know, race or class or whatever. And that's why, for me, it's very strange to be able to have all of the jobs on one character. So I would always go for the new race first. However, I do stick to what I had said about, you know, releasing an expansion without having all of the things necessary for that new class or race.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Oh, God, I'm going to get canceled on Twitter for this. So when it comes to male Hrothgar, this is the thing that I hear, whether it's new players or veteran players, like, why don't they play Hrothgar? First thing is limited hairstyles. Second thing is limited hats. And the third thing is the hunch in their back. And I definitely think, like, World of Warcraft in, like, the Battle for Azeroth Alpha got the orcs a chiropractor and strained out their backs. And I definitely think that that would be a huge improvement to, like, the existing Hrothgar race that I think would make, because female Hrothgars have seen the chiropractor clearly, as we can see in the benchmark character created. But I think that would be something that really widens the appeal of even like the male Hrothgars. And I think that that would be a really good thing. So it's just like, but in terms of like, would I prioritize like gear over adding a new race? Or like even what I just mentioned, like upgrading some of the base race, I am really torn. I think that, like what Chris said, it's just like widening the appeal would be huge, because I cannot tell you how many people that I've talked to from other games in person in real life who have been like, wow, World of Warcraft added like a dragon race. Imagine how cool something like that would be in Final Fantasy 14. Like, there are people going crazy thinking, oh my God, imagine what they could do, which I know the aura is meant to be very much that. But I think we all know that it's not like, you know, like a Drakthir kind of dragon or something like that. So I'm torn.
I've actually heard that with your statement of Hrothgar, that some people haven't played them because they're not as humanoid as the other races, funnily enough. And so Makote, I wonder if that back, more, you know, having them stand up straight would be more of a humanoid feature that would make them more appealing to other players. But I don't know if it's necessary either.
You bring up WoW, and like WoW has done a couple interesting things. So to argue for what you're saying, WoW has gone back and added additional selections to their existing races. They also have a system called allied races, which would be kind of like when you can create like the light or the dark version of things in Final Fantasy. What if we went and added a third or a fourth or a fifth option in that character select? And what's really cool is like when they're first added, they're kind of changing the requirements, but you would have to go like unlock them. So say they were tied to like a beast tribe, you would have to go complete that beast tribe and do a quest, and then you would have this ability in the character select. And that makes more sense in a game where one character does not play all the classes, because you'd be like, oh, cool, I'll make my next red mage that. But alternatively, an argument against what you're saying is the very dragons you brought up. In this expansion, there are a lot of very different dragon body types for World of Warcraft, and the dragon that you create is only one of the body types. And so there are people who were really excited to play a dragon in World of Warcraft, and then they saw a dragon and like, well, why can't I play that one? Like,
yeah, that was me.
That's the one I wanted.
That was me and my ex. We were both just like, why can't we play like these huge, massive ones? And it's just like, no.
I was really proud the creation, but then once you got into game and I felt like their movement just seemed really clunky, and I didn't like that at the time you could only be like the Drakthir Evoker when I had tried it out. And I was like, no.
True.
I'll be honest, a lot of the other...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Plus, it would be a little bit weird when you got to Heaven's Ward and you're playing a dragon. Like, it would be a little bit awkward.
If I can't be as big, as amazing, as Big Daddy Hrisvogr, then I don't want to be a dragon.
Right? Okay, that'd be amazing. With the angel wings and everything? Sign me up.
Yes.
Okay, I would Fantasia. I've always told people I don't think I'll Fantasia off Hrothgar. Okay, I would have to.
Now, I'll say, like, as we've seen the benchmark, like, we're focused on kind of the things that it's shown us might still need some work, but, like, I'm really excited for what it means for things like gathering or, you know, fishing, things where you spend a lot of time in the open world, hunt trains, because, like, the grass and the ground effects, like, I think it's shown us that the world's going to be a lot prettier to be in. I don't know what all this expansion is going to offer us as far as reasons to be in the world beyond gathering. Some expansions, I feel like I spend more time out in the world than others.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there seems to be a lot of emphasis in this benchmarking trailer, the maps. Like, you saw your character holding a map. You got the little map at the town. Like, there seems to be a lot of emphasis on discovery and maps, which means I'm going to suck at it. But still, there seems to be a lot of, like, map-related footage in all the trailers we've seen.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was just the animation they had, and like every time we get to a new MSQ point, there's going to be somebody going, go here next, and that's, or if you're right, like, is there some new form of content that, like, we're going to see maps more often?
Exploratory zone, maybe?
That's what I'm hoping for. That's the piece of content that I'm the most curious about, because I like where they were going with Eureka, and I feel like they completed the thought with Bogia, but I really would love to see kind of how they take that zone and take it into everything with the new tech and the new visuals. Because I'm actually, honestly, when they were showing off all the graphics update, I was like, I'm really curious to see what Eureka looks like with this update.
It would look cool.
Yeah, especially it was already beautiful.
Oh,
exactly. Yeah.
I'm really excited that like it's going to be so backward compatible from the get-go. It won't be flawless. They've mentioned multiple times, like, for anybody that wants to go back and replay the story with graphics, expect there to be moments that weren't updated. And they even warned us so explicitly as to say, like, there might be times where something looks out of place because we haven't gotten to that thing yet. So they've said, like, please bear with us. This is going to be a process. But they don't want to have to try to, like, wait until they're totally done. This will also give them a chance to get a lot of feedback and things like that, because we're going to find things that they could never comb for. Because there's going to be thousands of people that choose to go back and replay the story and are like, oh, that looks better, and that makes this look worse.
Yeah, like how I joked recently about the fact that the last a couple of expansions, I don't know if it's the last one or the previous one, but the armor isn't finished with job equipment, but Paladin has already been done because I test a lot of stuff on Paladin. So the Paladin equipment is already upgraded to the new textures, but nothing else is from that era. So they're like, well, we could release Paladin now, but then it'd be unfair for all the others, because all the others will have the low-res textures and Paladin will have its shiny.
I know, everybody who replays the story will be replaying on Paladin just to well, enjoy it. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to be out in the world. There's some gathering log stuff. I've been watching some people kind of like Cider and stuff knocking out achievements, and I'm wondering if this expansion is kind of when I pick one big... I don't know that I want to go for all the achievements in the game, but kind of pick a category and say, like, I'm just going to go get all the botanist achievements, which would just be it would be a huge undertaking, because some of them, or like, I mean, fishing would be just to complete all of fishing within an expansion. Everything I have remaining would just be a giant journey. So, you know, there are people like Izzy that have basically every achievement in the game, but I think, you know, for now it's like, all right, there's better ground effects. Let me just like pick a land job and go out and crush it. Not to mention like it would be a great chance to say, okay, I'm going to burn all my leaves this expansion on that one class until that's done. Cause the leaves thing, you have to do like every leave when it's up for 7 years continuous to get all the leave achievements.
How much would you guys like to see leaves kind of make some level of return as the battle kind of content within the game? Because it just gets regulated off to crafting and gathering. And I'd like to see battle as an option. What do y'all think?
For updated leaves?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
Now you're talking leaves as point, in the ones you pick up. Sorry.
At that point, are we going to go back and fix Verminion? Are we going to go back and expand squadrons? Like, where, like,
I'd like them to also do the fates, bring what the, you know, with the fate currency and bring that back into all the other zones. I'd like to, yeah. Honestly, if we're going to take the time to do the graphics 8.0, let's bring all the cool stuff that we brought and new expansions back into kind of making the game feel pretty cohesive. But that's just how I feel about it.
I think
I'd rather them find a new use for leave allowances.
Yeah, that would work.
I'd rather them just apply them to something else entirely. So maybe they're used for, I don't know, something attached to the criterion system. Like you can add a modifier if everybody tosses a leave in the bin.
Oh, that'd be
something,
cool.
Something like that. Like, I don't know. Like, I'd rather them just go back and reuse this. It's something that a lot of games struggle with, is they add all these currencies, and leaves is a currency that just fills itself. So like, it's not even like, oh well, you earned it, we're just gonna leave it there like the tribal quest tokens. It's just sitting there doing nothing. I bet the vast majority of people in chat and the five of us are at leave cap right now.
I am.
You know, it's just like, how many leaves? That's the stat we should see. There's 20 million leaves a year just lost to being over cap. you know, so like leave doubling for rewards on a roulette. Yes, something, even if it's really optional like that, just like double your tomes. Absolutely.
See, I think the leave system, the last time that I seriously did it, so Heavensward Relic has a step for Amber Encased Vialkin, and it's sad because I just remember this off the top of my head, and I remember popping, I think it was outside like the Moogle zone in like Heavensward, and I just popped every leave until I got that Heavensward Relic material. I think that was my major use for all of them, and I feel so bad saying it. I don't think I've touched them much since. Oh,
I'm doing the trial right now to see if I want to like get back into it and get everything all set for Dawn Trail. And I've actually been doing like the regular leave quest because I completely ignored them for my first playthrough.
There's some lore in them.
Yeah, and I didn't know that until now. And I feel like there's fun lore in a lot of things that I just didn't pay attention to because I was like, I need to finish the whole MSQ before Shadowbringers, and that's all I did. And so now I'm actually like taking my time and looking at it. And so for me, I love the idea of leaves now that I've actually done them. I think it would really be really cool for them to actually be, you know, relevant once again for Dawn Trail. And Any way that I can level up other jobs without just like doing all of my daily dungeon and raid stuff or like going into Boja like before, like anything else that I can have fun and actually level my alt jobs would be.
I think that's such a good point. Like, and then I saw one of the comments that was brought up was like, make the experience that you get from a leave like a boosted fate. I think that that would be brilliant. And then bring it into like Dawn Trail. I think that would be good.
That would be. Yeah, I like that a lot.
There are a lot of great, fun little leave quests. There are a lot of tedious ones in there as well, but I went back and completed every, I think I've got them all. Like, I went through and was trying to get all the leave quests in the game. I was just kind of working through each expansion and grabbing them all. I was using one of the online trackers to track which ones I've done and which ones I haven't. There's a lot of fun quests in there, just as far as fun side lore. Just as like a quality of life thing, I would love for them to go back and add like another icon. I don't know what it would look like, but there's an MSQ icon and there's a side quest icon. But there have been quests added throughout, especially Endwalker, where these are kind of like your deleted scenes. So for somebody that wants to play an extended version of the expansion, they're very, very, very important quests. They're a lot better than regular side quests. And so like, if you're somebody who wishes the MSQ could be longer, you should do these next. But you don't have to go dig through every single side quest to get them. So like, I don't know what that would look like, but I feel like there should be one more icon to help you grab like that last little level. Something else. Something that just has, that kind of lets you know, hey, this is kind of a director's cut level of quest.
I'd love that. I would actually love that.
Because there's some really good ones.
My mic quality should be better now. Hi.
Hey.
I realized Windows default my mic to a different setting and crashed my audio software. So, yeah.
Yeah, that happens around updates. Every time there's when my Windows computer is like, hey, we got an update, I'm like, I'm probably going to have to futz with my audio setup as soon as this completes.
I'm sorry about all that. I'm sorry if I sounded really bad. Oh. I mean, worse than my normal voice.
Even Stormblood had that with the Black Rose off of an initial Aether current quest. Yeah, there have been a couple over the years that like every once in a while I come across a quest and I'm like, why did nobody tell me about this one? Where they just reveal something fun about like the way the world works, or they reveal something fun about a character. I don't know. Some sort of like a... All right. Graphics updates. We're all happy with the benchmark.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk about how the Warrior of Light looks and the difference from the trailer to...
Yeah.
That's been the big thing. That's what everybody has an issue with. Where's my sexy, stubbly, wrinkly man? No, the difference between like an actual cinematic and gameplay is obvious, but it was really funny to see all of the comparisons that everybody put out. I think that's been my like the best part of the benchmark for me.
Yoshibi said, I think two media tours ago that they were considering facial hair. Stubble.
I'm all for that. Beard.
Stubble.
We've been asking for beards for a long time.
I think it was a Shadowbringers media tour question. I could be wrong on that, but there was definitely a time where he addressed that he wanted, that they were working on some effects that they thought would help mimic facial hair. And then we did never get it. Not to the degree that would even pay homage to what we get in cinematics.
Although, yeah. To be fair, I would say it would have to be done well. Because you can always, like, when it's not done well, it looks so, like, fake and blocky.
Like, it's like makeup. Like, when yeah. like when a kid puts it on for Halloween and they just, like,
color it black. I would like that for my Lalafell, if it just looked fake and blocky. Like, I would be accepting that.
I mean, we kind of have that in game. There's, like, a Santa beard from, like, a billion years ago. And that does exist in game. And Hrothgar can wear it.
Shadowbringers had a hat that gives you a beard. We have our little.
Oh, yeah, the dwarven hat thing. Yes, that too.
Yeah, that's why I have my Lalafell's a glamour at all times.
But it does look good. I mean, it doesn't look real.
Yeah, it would be.
The other big thing was the lighting, too, that people were talking about, was that you had to, like, change the gamma or else your characters looked really washed out. I haven't seen it yet. I'm planning on downloading it.
In the benchmark, I think the opening boat doesn't look like it's sitting in the water. And I don't know how to fix that. Like, I don't have a suggestion. It just, like, for it to be the very opening sequence, mm-hmm. like, the benchmark only got better from there. And I think it's just that the new water looks so good. And then, like, you can only do so much with a boat. So the boats look kind of like they did before.
That's incredible for that to be a problem. Everything else looks so good that the stuff that's interacting with it just, I don't know.
It didn't look like a boat. Like, it didn't, it looked like it was photoshopped onto the water. The water looked too good.
But they are working on it. Okay.
Yeah.
Like the lifeless eyes that they were talking about. Okay.
Yeah. We'll get a version 2 in theory. And then Yoshibi said, even once the expansion launches, we are not done.
Right.
We're getting another live layer in May. So my guess is we'll probably see the updated benchmark during that live layer, probably, maybe at the earliest.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, I think that's everything 14 related at this time. It's all graphics, graphics, graphics. That's what everybody's talking about right now. Next big stop is next month. We have the media tour. And so then we'll start to see that's when we'll get job action trailer and job actions historically. And then we'll get to shift this conversation from, I don't like the way my character looks, but I'm excited to play the game, to they broke my class, but I'm excited to play the game. So it'll be a completely different set of complaints.
Scholar debacle all over again.
Yes.
And everybody will know that it wasn't that hard. They could have made the game great, but instead they ruined my character. That'll be next month.
I should start the ball.
Didn't one of the media tours bring the fact that people thought Red Mage Res was going to be nerfed to 5 minutes? Wasn't that a thing? I think that ended up being the Blue Mage spell, but like they originally thought that Red Mage was going to be like the Res was going to be every 5 minutes instead of how it is.
That is fantastic. I would almost like do that on purpose for people to misread that and be like, leaked class change just to get more attention for it.
Would be good.
Right? It's like what Blizz does every time for their expansions. Oh, it was leaked.
Yeah.
Generate all the publicity.
Warrior actually got the OG CD Res now.
Dude,
it comes. I would love that. I would cry.
Warriors were already a healer in Endwalker, yep. So like let's just complete yep. the
if
vision.
If you atomic fell cleave and it hits a dead ally, they come back to life.
Yeah. AoE Res for Warrior. Please.
Yeah,
I'll give you that. I'll give you that if, as a white mage, I can get rescue gar, and I can rescue the whole party to me.
I'd do that and take everyone over the edge. Don't give me this power.
Everybody would.
Yes, it'd be amazing.
Imagine that. I have a stack rescues.
Like there are some clips out there of some truly incredible rescues. Like when you see somebody slide off of a platform and then just get slingshotted back on. But most of the time, yes. I'm not sure that ability is moving us forward as a community.
Blitzcrank from League of Legends time. As soon as they gave it to me, I'm like, yes.
I'm actually excited to see how all of the updates for graphics turn out, like when you're actually interacting with the full map and have it on stream. Especially because even with a beast PC and streaming it like as high of a bitrate as you can, sometimes like even the raids, if you're one of those people, and I know that for the most part they're few and far between, that actually have all of the abilities turned on, things still look fuzzy and stuff. So that's one of the things that I'm kind of excited to see, especially since they're saying that, you know, systems should still be able to handle it, but it's how much is able to be handled through bandwidth, I guess is my question.
Delibram is the only time I've ever had all the abilities turned on.
I never have. And I mentioned it in the trailer.
Glorious.
And someone was, or yeah, for the benchmark trailer announcement video, I'd done a reaction to it. And I was saying, well, it's not like everybody has this on anyway. And people actually responded to it. And they're like, I do. And I was like, really? Really?
I did for the longest time. And then I realized it was making my DPS worse because I used to be a monk and I'm a Lalafell. So I couldn't actually see where I was for positionals because there's just too many explosions over me. So I can't work out if I'm to the flank or not because I can't see me. So I ended up like turning them off eventually.
I don't have them all off.
See, I might be in the minority here. I actually have always kept them on. And then some people, like I put like footage of me like clearing like some of the ultimate raids like T and Uwu. And people are just like, wait, you did these ultimate raids with all the effects on? And they're just like, you really feel like you need to feel something, don't you? Or something. These raids. And I'm like, what?
It takes a different kind of player to be able to do that.
I just never had them off. It would probably be very as a black mage fire forward.
I turned them all on in Delibram and played in first person, and honestly,
no.
Because the relic, one of the easier ways to grind that relic was to do Delibram about 65 billion times.
Oh, sure.
And so in stream, we were doing like, what are fun ways to modify your Delibram experience? So I would play with like just my left hand, and I would play with just my right hand, and then we would go first person, and then we would go full spell effects.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. So like I was playing with just clicking my abilities at one point. So we were just modifying. There were just all these modifications. And then once I got through all of them, then we started combining modifications. And it was just a way of like, because you see the same content over and over, and like nothing any one person does in Delibram normal matters. So like if you get yeeted, you get yeeted. Like it's okay.
God, some post mythic plus affixes. First person, I would
first
die.
Person full spell effects as a warrior. It's just chaos.
I'd be dead.
That's the reason why I like didn't continue on with ESO, because I thought you had to play in first person instead of third person. And I didn't know that there was a third person mode. And I was like, this game is stupid. Why would you play an MMO?
I played it in first person.
Well, there's a good argument to the third person, and kind of, especially if there's a cash shop or some kind of way of changing your character's appearance. And it's always interesting because like, oh, we're a first person game and you can get character skins that you never see, you know. So yeah, it's like, okay,
true.
Well, it turns out we didn't sell a lot and now we gotta shut down. Like, all right, I understand.
Well, speaking of the other games, have you guys seen all this Guild Wars 3 stuff now that this has kind of settled down and we know the amount of information we're getting is not much?
Yes, and how people like when potatoes can still see an image and do like a 3-hour video about what's going to be happening in the Guild Wars 3 game.
So, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the TLDR here, to catch anybody up who's not aware, is in an investor meeting, there were investors that feel like they're not getting the same return they expected. They invested a lot of money to combine a bunch of studios under one name to give it a stronger edge, especially in the American market. And that they have not gotten the return that they expected on their investment. And in response to that, person goes, we're working on all kinds of things like Guild Wars 1, Guild Wars 2, Guild Wars 3, and just kind of, and that's how it got thrown out. Like it just got thrown out, totally arbitrary. And they just moved on to the next statement. And anyway, wait, what? And then, of course, media reaches out and the official ArenaNet response is, if we were working on it, we can't tell you about it. And if we're not working on it, we're not saying we won't ever. We don't know if we are. We don't know if we're not. Don't ask us. And I believe that is all of the information. And based on that, which is nothing, there has been like entire doctoral theses put out about what is happening and that Guild Wars 2 is shutting down, which has another expansion confirmed, by the way. And, you know, first step to shutting a game down, continue to invest enormous resources in it. So like, and it's ArenaNet's number one source of revenue is Guild Wars 2. So like, I don't know. Do you guys have more information? Is that really it? Is that the whole thing?
That's it. It's all I've heard.
It's all I've heard. But I would say that if there was a Guild Wars 3, it would be nice to actually touch on the Guild Wars instead of all of the things that happened afterwards. Because even in Guild Wars 1, it's still kind of just like a part of the lore. And it's not really something that you're taking part in or experiencing. It's still a lot of
that. You want it to be a genre, like a like Mukluk Battle Royale? That was his arbitrary suggestion. What if it's a battle royale?
I don't exactly know what I would want them to experiment with, other than I think the way that the expansions and the story patches are being released is kind of strange. And for me, coming from other games like, you know, World of Warcraft and Final Fantasy XIV, I would rather still have a bigger expansion that is actually hyped up throughout a certain amount of time with actual dev chats and actual like social media promotion, and go back to having legitimate patches. But I wouldn't go back to their having to pay for like Living World Season 1, 2, 3, whatever. I think that those should be included in the expansion. I think they're the current, and I know that people are happy with it, but I think the current expansions for me aren't really expansions. They're just large story patches, and I just think that they're strange. It's a very strange model.
I think with Guild Wars 3, go ahead, Chili.
Sorry, it's like ESO. Technically, they're expansions. They're called chapters because they're more story-related side quests than they are an actual full expansion like you see in like World of Warcraft and Final Fantasy. I would like to bring up one thing about ESO, though. I'm excited for the new expansion in June. And there's a cool new crafting system that they're adding to ESO, which I would like to see involved in more games. It's called scribing. It allows you to customize your abilities, appearances, and effects by like unlocking, like doing like a side quest. You then unlock this like crafting scheme where you can then get books and like ink and stuff like that, where you can then edit the effects and appearances of your spells. So you could change the fireball to be like a different color or a different appearance. And then like you could have shield toss. And then rather than it just being a standard damage, it'll add a damage over time, or it'll add another like a bleed or a stun or whatever. So you can then, or you can make it so it hits multiple targets. So I like, as someone who was able to play the expansion early, thank you again to ZeniMax Online. So I had to say like EU lore. I would like to see more stuff like that added to like customization too.
I think that's WoW Inscription is not wildly different. Obviously it works different because the rules of their game are different, but WoW Inscription follows a similar theory with inks and parchment. And like, I can modify like the way my druid shapeshift looks and things like that.
I love this comment.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Guild Wars 3 is scheduled for release one day after Portal 3 balls in your court. Portal 3, I love the Portal games. But no, I guess for Guild Wars 3, if it ended up coming to fruition, I guess the other big thing was I would hope that they would know what they want. If A, it is going to have real expansions, and B, what the story is actually supposed to be from the beginning in the development. Because I feel like, and this might not be the thing that people want to hear, but I feel like End of Dragons, while it was a good expansion, Guild Wars kind of shifted from that like PvP and gameplay. I mean, it is ArenaNet after all, to wanting to do things that were more story-based after hearing how, you know, how well 14 was doing with their MSQ and having that be like one of the main attractions. And then WoW started doing that to follow suit as well, where there's always been like that deep lore. They started really integrating more of an MSQ. And I think that if they're going to continue to do that, if it does come into having Guild Wars 3, that I think the story should be better, more thought out, and actually have a good, it should actually have a resolution. Because while being a good expansion overall, I thought the story for End of Dragons was okay, and it wasn't the way a lot of people would have ended the dragon cycle, which has been around since day one of Guild Wars 2.
So I think with 3, there's a lot of opportunities with the technology and how gaming has changed radically, especially with MMOs over the last 10 years specifically. looking at, you know, obviously the things that I look for, controller support. If they brought that in as kind of native, you could be talking about console. Obviously, you have cloud native and so many new things that I would really like to see what the Guild Wars devs are able to kind of craft with all the advancements that have happened over the years. I mean, we believe it's actually being done in Unreal Engine 5, because that was essentially this leak, this slip of the tongue or whatever, you know, have you. It was already like, hey, they already announced they're working on a new MMORPG in Unreal Engine 5 based off of an established franchise, you know, so it's like, okay, yeah, that checks out. They're working on Guild Wars 3. What else could they be working on? All right, well, we'll see. And so for me, as somebody who's really enjoyed Guild Wars 2, every time I step back into it, I'm like, oh, this is such a great experience. I think it's funny because Andrew brings up marketing, and I think that's their biggest problem with, you know, with the game in and of itself, because every time I talk, every time we sit around and like brainstorm on ideas we want for Final Fantasy or for New World or for insert your MMO here, it's always like, man, Guild Wars 2 really did a really cool thing over here about the open world. Oh, Guild Wars 2 has this system, mm-hmm. and it's high praised, it's high regarded, but it's also easily not at the forefront of everybody's mind because they don't really advertise. They've started pushing into like Twitch drops, and now that it's on Steam, like these are things that they're making and doing that help. But my issue, and the only issue that I still have to this day, is that there is no cross progression between Steam and your base Guild Wars account. And I would be perfectly fine of picking it up on Steam and playing it if they gave me that choice, but they unfortunately took that one off the table. And so I think 3 gives them a great ability to say, hey, what are we going to be for, you know, the next generation of hardware? What are we going to be for that? Because I would, especially because it's under review, which just means they're doing milestone check-ins to see if they like, is this project viable, or are we really like, or do we see it, you know, kind of collapsing? You know, I think that what you see is most likely end of the 2020s at a minimum, and it could easily be a 2030, you know, kind of game. And yeah, why not? Let's go with it.
Yeah, minimum 3 to 5 years.
There's just a lot of things that they've been still testing currently for me to believe that there's really any time for development like that. Like actually having the world versus world be more guild v guild, like and things like that. And that still isn't perfected. And they keep doing these, like, you know, stress tests and things like that. And it's taken a lot of work. And they've been talking about that for a while and putting a bunch of notes out. And so I don't know.
I like the way they stress test.
I do too.
I don't know how ESO does it, but I can say that like Final Fantasy just doesn't. We just do everything private, and then we roll it out on day one. And best case, we've had some systems over the years where they've had a plan B in mind. So when plan A didn't work out, they had a switch they could flip. But usually it's, oh, we didn't know that it wouldn't be perfect on day one. Let's work on that. And then WoW does alphas. And so you have this other private test server where people are A, not playing like their normal selves. It's not our real character. And B, it's not the real population, as opposed to Guild Wars just rolls it into the real thing. They let it play its course, and then they pull it back and they say, okay, we're going to have it in for this weekend, and then we're going to take it out of the game, and we're going to look at all the feedback, and then we'll come back and we'll do that again. We'll have another week or whatever where we can try it, and then we'll rip it back out of the game. And so think of it like a seasonal event. Like, it just shows up. You try it with your real character. And even when they roll out a new class, imagine if during the 14-hour live stream, you could play Pictomancer on your real character. You just logged in. You could just run dungeons, alliance raids, whatever you wanted with a max level Pictomancer. And then they just pulled it back out of the game. And then they took all that data and said, okay, we're going to go in and we're going to make some balance changes because we don't like the way Pictomancer's playing in this way, but we do like the way it's working over here. So it's a really neat system.
But anytime we've ever, or not even necessarily us, but I feel like anytime there's ever been a discussion about something like that, people always bring up spoilers, and they say, like, or people having access to certain things first, even if they let you have a certain trial period and then take it out, and then they might not even have all of the, you know, abilities that you had access to during that trial period available again. Maybe they change them completely before everything is actually released. But I feel like every time we talk about that, people say that, you know, people have an advantage over others, or it could be spoilery and things like that. And I feel like it's definitely, I hear it a lot more in the 14 community as well. So I don't know.
I mean, it's not exactly an advantage, really.
I agree with you, but
I would also still call the benchmark kind of a
advantage to PC players over console players.
Sure.
And not just for testing like the actual graphics. I keep saying this on Twitter. It's not really to test the graphics of the console because there's nothing you can do to change that. But by having the benchmark, you're able to test out what your character looks like in Dawn Trail for the graphics update. While those console will have to wait until release before they can test out to see what their character looks like, to see if they like it or not. Like, and they won't be able to test out Hrothgar's or anything like that until release. So that, as someone who's a console player myself, like, I was lucky I was able to test it on my PC, my laptop, but like, not everyone will have that ability. And it, you know, they might, so that's, in my opinion, more of an advantage than what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Just imagine if they gave us 10 days to play with the new abilities. Like, that's the job action trailer drops, and for the next 10 days, you have access to all abilities up to the current level cap with the new tooltips.
I'd have
and
so
then
much
we're
going to
revert it.
See, I think that's a good idea. I'm a serious advocate for alpha, beta, even PTR before a next patch comes out, and having access to a couple of raid bosses or dungeon bosses to make sure that they work. And like I said, I totally agree with you, Chili, but I do know of people that have said things like that, especially that they think, you know, all of those things are an advantage, or it shouldn't happen because it is too spoilery and everybody should be on the same level. I'm a big PTR person, but at the same time, I also don't know if that's because I started with World of Warcraft and that's just what I've always known. And I feel like I can say that about a lot of things where I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely for this, or I don't know why you guys don't do this, you know, add-ons, things like that. And I don't know if that's because that's what I started with. And so I'm just, it's ingrained into the way I play.
The answer is that Guild Wars is always the best game. And that's why none of us are playing at this moment.
Oh, no.
And that's always how I feel about Guild Wars. Like, everything I want my other games to be, I learned from Guild Wars. And I don't know why Guild Wars is not the first game I boot up when I have free time.
Same. I don't know. Like, I haven't so even good. Finished. Like, the new expansion is coming out, and I haven't finished the previous one.
I bought Dragons, and I never even booted it up. I was like, I'm buying it because I want to support this. And then life gets, you know, as you're well aware, we talked in the pre-show. Like,
but
man,
you held
having kids changes your game time.
But like, you held on. It's not that you haven't had time.
Right. But that's the other thing too, is talking about like going through everything for 14 is, I'm like, yeah, I like the beginning of things. I'm doing a trial. I'm seeing if the game is still right for me. I'm doing every single thing that I didn't get the chance to do with my first, you know, playthrough. But I'm doing that instead of the current stuff in Guild Wars 2, which is very strange.
Which is
I didn't cut you off, Brian.
I would say nostalgia helps with that. I know that sounds weird considering the fact it's still an active game, but you've got 10 years of history with that franchise with Final Fantasy 14 versus Guild Wars, where you don't have that. And you also have the nostalgia of the Final Fantasy franchise, which you don't have with Guild Wars. Like, I know that sounds weird to say for an MMO that's still active and getting updates, that nostalgia will affect it, but it totally could. Like,
it's also not like with the nostalgia factor kind of, and I don't know exactly like what we're okay with talking about, so I'll kind of sum it up very, very briefly. But when I was playing WoW in 14, I was in a really toxic relationship in which I wasn't allowed to do a lot of things. And so I've kind of started over with those MMOs, and it kind of feels like an almost like a freedom thing now that I am able to do all of those other things. And I didn't have that experience with Guild Wars 2. I was at a really good place in my life. I'm still at a really good place in my life. And so with Guild Wars 2, it's like, I'll get back to it when I get to it. But with WoW and 14, it's like, I want to do all of it again, because it almost seems like like my experience previously was almost like tainted. Like, I didn't get out of it what I could have. And so it just feels completely different. Like, it feels fresh. It feels new. And that probably sounds weird, but
I find myself wanting for that. I find myself wanting to read the books for WoW, because I've always been told, like, I've been told I don't like WoW lore. It's like, what? Like, I wasn't asked. I was just informed of my opinion.
Nope.
And like, I didn't play MMOs for lore. Like, I've played story-based games, but it hasn't been MMOs. And that comes from a time when my PC time was limited. And so progress was the be-all, end-all. And So me and my brothers each had a character. We took turns on the same computer, and progress was the goal. Seeing them get further than you made you want to skip the quest text. I'm not a particularly fast reader. So you just skip the quest text, and like, wow, really just said, we reward this behavior. So like, it just ingrained it in me. So like, MMOs just aren't where I want to receive my story. But after Endwalker, I went back and replayed through the Final Fantasy story and all the expansions I've skipped and things like that. And I really enjoyed it. And I wanted that same relationship with WoW. And I've been told, I was like, okay, how do I do this? Like, with the new system, you can create a character that starts at whatever expansion you want. Where do I start in game to get to know WoW lore? And first you have to dig through the muck where it's 200 people telling you, you don't, because WoW lore sucks, bro. And it's like, just answer. Like, if you don't have an answer for my question, that's fine.
Right. And I totally disagree, by the way. I'm so excited for the next expansion because it's the World Soul Saga, which was all of like my initial favorite part of the lore. And if you do, you, okay, sorry. Do you have the Chronicles to read for WoW? Because that's a really good place to start.
I don't know how to do this. I should just follow up with you offline, because like, I want to get to, now that I know they're going into like the last three that are going to kind of wrap up this saga. Mm-hmm. My thought is, I didn't get to really fall in love with Final Fantasy lore until after the finale dropped. And I have to wonder what my experience would have been if I had full cleared the story before Endwalker dropped. And I can't go back and rewrite it. And I'm perfectly happy with my experience. No regrets. But for WoW, I have an opportunity on the front end to say, okay, before the last of these three expansions drops, I want to be in a position where like I can be as passionate as Pyromancer, where somebody says like, trolls don't like undead, and then he just loses it for like 2 hours. Like, just, I can't believe you would like it. And like, that's where I want that. I envy that. And watching a Bellular summary, or watching, you know, some of these, there are some brilliant lore creators within the WoW space. I can't, like, the summary is never going to do it, because they have gone through 100 hours of content and slimmed it to 20 minutes for you, which is generous. But like, I want the whole 100, and I literally don't know how to do it. And that's something that like Guild Wars makes very easy, Final Fantasy makes very easy, and WoW just doesn't.
I think that's so unfortunate, because like, I'm the opposite, where I actually came from like 14, and then I eventually tried WoW like right before Shadowlands dropped, and I actually really enjoyed leveling through Warlords of Draenor, which apparently people really hated. I really enjoyed the story there. I really enjoyed BFA's story, and then I even enjoyed Shadowlands' story. So it's like, it's really funny thinking about just how different things might just be just from the MMO that one started with.
I tried WoW with Shadowlands because they added controller support native. And I'm a controller player. I didn't mind it. I had no interest. I know that the Lich King had a really sexy voice, and that's about it.
Like, yeah. BFA was so much better at just welcoming people in. BFA was just so well done at the launch. There were these big war campaign quests, which was like MSQ Lite. And there was, you could pick your zone. So if you thought a zone looked, you can't anymore, but you could pick your zone if you thought it looked cool, and you could just go there. And there was, you know, like world sync and stuff is good enough for a new player. So like, there was a lot about BFA. It wasn't a perfect expansion, but like on launch, BFA, the first 2 weeks of BFA was really great. It didn't age well, but like, I remember the beginning of BFA and everybody was cheering and yay. And like, in hindsight, it was like, I knew it was bad the whole time. But like, it was how it aged that became problematic.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think we have time for 20 questions. We are over the hour mark already.
Yeah, so you guys talk too much.
Guilty. Guilty.
We try to keep these shows at an hour. So we'll start with Zandri. Zandri, what have you been working on? Where can people find you?
So for the most part, I've been working on integrating coming back for content number one. Number two, integrating everything with the local game store that I now own. We're going on 2 years in August. And so as you guys might have seen when I was typing in chat, my YouTube is now Talon Song Gaming, which is the name of my shop. And then my Twitch is TS Zandri. And for the most part on stream, I've been toying with streaming on both Twitch and YouTube, and going back, like I'd mentioned, doing the trial for 14 and doing all of the things that I was not able to do when I first talked with you guys. So really excited about it, really excited about The War Within. So I'll probably be doing that. But yeah, just selling stuff for the most part, other than that.
Cole?
You got anything going?
Yeah, for me, I'm mostly just on YouTube under Cole Evix, and I just make a whole lot of Final Fantasy 14 content, and I am super hyped for Dawn Trail, so a lot more stuff coming up soon.
Ginger Prime, what 25 videos or more will you be posting this week?
I got a lot of guides getting ready to roll out for No Rest for the Wicked. It's action RPG Souls-like that just keep released into early access. And you can tell when I really enjoy a game by how long the stream ends up going. That seems to be kind of the meme that's popping off. So last night, Julie had kind of a girls' night. And so that gave me a little bit extra time to game. And I ended up going longer than 3 hours, which is an anomaly for me. And it was really hard putting the game down and actually forcing myself to go to bed. So that's what you're going to probably be seeing from me quite a bit, as well as continuing to work on some Dragon's Dogma 2 stuff. And then I do plan to finish the Samurai Controller Guide and do the 16 event, but I just need to figure out when I can go live for that. So it might be this weekend. We'll just keep it locked to the channel and you'll see it when I get scheduled.
Chili, you still working on your playthrough?
I'm still working through my playthrough of Fantasy 7 Rebirth. Yes, that is correct. I'm about 80 hours in. But a couple of weeks ago, I was able to interview Rich Lambert from the ZeniMax Online, which was a lot of fun as well. And we just hit our 8th anniversary of Moogle Go Round last night. So Moogle Go Round is now 8 years old. So, yeah. Yay.
Wild.
Yeah. Thank you.
Cool. Well, I am just running a lot, guys. Remember, I'm going to miss early access because that is the weekend that I have my 50-mile race scheduled. And so yesterday I did the new thing is I'm consistently over 100,000 steps a week. So my feet are great. That was the current problem. The new problem is how do I consume enough calories for that day? Because that day is probably going to burn 10,000 plus. And so like literally just how does your body take that much in? Because you're limited. When you push blood to your legs, your stomach doesn't have that blood. And so you're limited on how fast you can consume calories. So you have to learn like what types of food and like how often can you eat them. And basically, if you undereat, you get sick. If you overeat, you get sick. So like all of the methods are like walk on this balance beam. And if you fall off in any direction, you get sick. So I am just practicing because I have 10 weeks to go. So last night I ran a 10K and I met my wife for dinner and we sat on a patio with Chuck, our dog. And I had a chicken sandwich. And then I ran another 10K to get home. And a chicken sandwich is too much food.
Oh, no.
So we know that now.
But as long as it's at the end, right? Because then you can finish everything and then get sick at the end.
Yeah, sick at the end would be fine. My concern is throughout the first 12 hours, how do I continually eat? Because I need to. I think right now, off the food I've tested, I can get to about an estimated 7,400 calories burned and I'm going to be okay. But I think the race is going to take more than that. So I think
they have recovery during the race to be able to. I mean, obviously they wouldn't have foods like a chicken sandwich.
There's aid stations, and they'll have pretzels and M&Ms and gels and salt tablets. And so I'm also working down the list of everything that's going to be. Yeah, so they have a list of everything that's provided at the aid stations.
Okay,
I am trying to try all those things so that I know which ones I can have and which ones I can't.
Got it.
So, and they list like what brands and stuff they use. So you can really like go just purchase exactly what's going to be provided. Otherwise you have to carry it with you. So, and then my wife and a friend are going to be in a car driving and they get to see us like every 8 to 15 miles. So I'll have like a second set of shoes and all this stuff. So it's like a logistics nightmare. Like everybody, like when you first focus on it, everybody's like, well, how are you going to run 50 miles? The running is actually not the hardest part. It's how are you going to eat for 50 miles? How are you going to avoid blisters for 50 miles? How are you going to have, you know, new shoes, new shirt, like all of these things for 50 miles? Like the running portion just becomes almost secondary to like all of the other, just how does this happen? And this is only half of a 100 mile course. So there are crazier people. I'm joining them at the halfway mark. So they will have been running since the night before. So they start running when I'm having dinner the night before and going to bed. And then I join them in the morning for the second half.
Oh,
it's not a run, but the most I've ever done was a 24-mile walk. That was a killer. That was a killer.
It's a lot.
That's a marathon, basically.
It's a lot. Yeah. 50,000 steps, give or take. So that's it on me. I don't always remember to update myself every week, but I hope you guys are having a fantastic week. We will see you guys next week. I don't think there's anything scheduled quite yet. The 20, 6th, we should be okay. But as we get into May, we'll be approaching media tour season. So hopefully there'll be fun leaks, interviews, and all sorts of cool things to talk about. Have a good day, guys.
Bye.
Bye.